ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text Number 15. Please repeat. Tam mopayatam pratiyanto vipra ganga cha devi tritachittam ishe dvija उपसृष्टाः कुहकाः तक्षकाः वा दशतो अलं गायत विष्णुगाथाः तमोपयातं प्रतियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी धृतचित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्टः कुहकस्तक्षको वा दशत्वलं गायत विष्णुगाताः तं मोपयातं प्रतियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी धृतचित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्ट कुहकस्तक्षको वा दशत्वलं गायत विष्णुगाथाः तमोपयातं प्रदियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी धृतचित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्टः कुहकस्तक्षको वा दशत्वलं गायत विष्णुगाथाः तमोपयातं प्रतियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी धृतचित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्टः कुहकस्तक्षको वा दशत्वलं गायत विष्णुगाथा मोपयन्तं प्रतियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी चित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्ट कुहकस्तक्षको वा दशत्वलं गायत विष्णुगाथाः तमोपयातं प्रदियन्तु विप्रा गंगा च देवी धृतचित्तमीशे द्विजोपसृष्ट कुहतस्तक्षको वा Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha.
Ladies.
Tammo Vayantam Priyanto Vipra. Ganga cha devi dhrita chitta mishe. Dvijopa srishta kuhakas takshakova. Dashatvalam gayata vishnu gatha. Tam. For that reason. Ma. Me. Upayatam. Taken shelter of. Pratiyanto, just accept me. Vipraha, O Brahmanas, Ganga, Mother Ganges, cha, also, Devi, direct representative of the Lord. Dhrita, taken into. Chittam, heart. Ishe, unto the Lord. Dvija upasrishta, created by the Brahmana. Kuhaka, something magical. Takshaka, the snake bird. Va, either. Dashato, let it bite. Alam, without further delay. Gayata, please go on singing. Vishnu Gathaha, narration of the deeds of Vishnu. Translation, O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I've already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahman created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Please repeat. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul. And let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way. For I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmana created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As soon as one is given up completely unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he is not at all afraid of death. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. Thus he became absolutely free from all fear of death. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapadagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sintho Dinabantho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikakanta Radhakanta Namostate Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harpriye Vanchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Tam Mopayatam Pratiyanto Vipra Ganga Cha Devi Trita Chittamishe Dvijopasrishta Kuhakastakshakova Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnugathaha. O Brahmanas, just accept me as a completely surrendered soul, and let Mother Ganges, the representative of the Lord, also accept me in that way, for I have already taken the lotus feet of the Lord into my heart. Let the snake bird, or whatever magical thing the Brahmin created, bite me at once. I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. We hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto, Etavan Sankhya Yoga Abhyam Swadharma Parinishthaya Janma Labha Parapungsam Ante Narayana Smritihi. We've come to this point now. Maharaj Parikshit has come to this point. We've not yet come to this point. Maharaj Parikshit has come to this point. We will come to this point. Will you be ready? Do you know when it's coming? He knew. So, Krishna says more than once in Bhagavad Gita, there are different kinds of people. Some people, they're action-oriented. They're doers. Some people are concept-oriented. They're thinkers. Twice he says this in Bhagavad Gita. So this is called Sankhya Yoga Abhyam is the thinker. And Swadharma Parinishtha is the doer. But it's a certain kind of thought, and it's a certain kind of action that elevates one. Not just any thought or any action. Some thoughts will take you to hell. Some actions will take you to hell. We'll discuss that in a moment. But Sankhya means, well, let's begin with Swadharma Parinishtha. Because generally you can't really process either Sankhya or Yoga until you're solidly fixed in Dharma. Swadharma Parinishtha. Being fixed in, this is called Karma Yoga. Piety. Acting according to scriptural directions. That creates the adhikar, or the qualification, or the prerogative, or the ability to process Sankhya philosophy properly, and more importantly, to apply that Sankhya philosophy. There are six systems of philosophy in the Vedas. What are they? Who knows? Six systems of philosophy. Darshan, we call it. Shad Darshan. There is, we'll begin with Nyaya, that's logic. Vaisheshika, that is later logic. Improved, new and improved logic, you can say. And then there is Sankhya, and there is Yoga. That is the Sankhya philosophy and its application in the form of yoga practice. And then finally we have Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa, or better known as Vedanta. It's called Karma and Jnana. So we're talking about Karma and Jnana here. The prerequisite course for graduating to the level of understanding that you're not your body, you have to be pious. You won't understand it otherwise, at least not in any practical way. So these form three pairs. The two Mimamsas and Sankhya Yoga. Two Mimamsas are one pair. Sankhya and Yoga are another pair. And Nyaya Vaisheshika are a third pair. So we're talking about Sankhya and its counterpart. And we're talking about Karma, or Mimamsa, and its counterpart. By these systems, one should come to gain the Janma Labha Paraha, the supreme attainment of your birth. And what does he say that is? And when you're ready to die, you're ready to die. When death is upon you, you have to be ready. And what is the form of that readiness? Ante Narayana Smriti. Everything comes down to this point. What are you going to remember when it's time to die? Generally, what we all remember at the time of death is called vasana. Vasana means, Indians understand this term. We don't have an equivalent term in English. The sum total of all the impressions that your mind is full of, which therefore create the mindset that you carry through life. Your mental disposition, we can say. Or your latent desires deep within the heart. The thing that inspires you to do whatever it is that you choose. That's called vasana. So, generally, ordinary conditioned souls, we're compelled or impelled by this vasana to act in so many ways in this world, and that in turn sets in motion so many reactions, and we have to deal with that at the time of death. It's going to take us to a place we may not want to go if we've been injudicious. Or if we've been very cautious and careful, then we may be elevated as human beings. But in either case, it's not permanent elevation until you come to this point, which is ante narayana smriti, to remember God, to remember Krishna at the time of death. So Maharaj Parikshit is very conscious of this. We know from Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti ante kalevaram. Whatever you are thinking of at the end of this body, that's where you're going. So, two things Srila Prabhupada stresses here in today's purport. Generally, we can say, Maharaj Parikshit was fearless because he was completely surrendered. That's one thing. And then the other thing is that something about the atmosphere created by all the great devotees who were present, they had that had an effect on his success or his failure. And he was confident. If you read this verse carefully, you'll see he's not saying actually that he is a surrendered soul. He's implying it for sure, but he's not actually saying it. What does he say? Please accept me as a surrendered soul. Pratiyantu. Pratiyantu means take it as good as that I'm a surrendered soul. He's asking all these sages and brahmanas and Vaishnavas present there, please take me in this way. So he's sitting on the bank of the Ganga, or as we've already heard back in text number 6 from Jiva Goswami, that it's not actually the bank of the Ganges, but it's the bank of the Yamuna. Those who are avid worshippers of Yamuna Devi, they already know. We don't have to tell them. Bhraturantakasya patane bhivatti harini. Prekshayati papinopi papasindhutarini. Niramadhuri bhirapyashesha chittabandhini. Mam punatu sarvadaravinda bandhunandini. Rupa Goswami prays in this verse and 7 others like it that just by seeing the charming waters of the Yamuna, a person is freed from the obligation to go and have an unpleasant interview with Yamaraj, her brother. Yama and Yami, these are brother and sister. Yamuna is the sister of Yamaraj. So it's a long story, we don't have time. Those who, North Indians, who understand what is Bhayaduj, they know that this, anyway, it's a long story. But Yamuna Devi got the benediction from her brother Yamaraj that anybody who bathes in your waters on this day, then he doesn't have to come and see me. So Rupa Goswami is more liberal than that. He says, just by seeing the Yamuna, prekshyati, and not only an ordinary person seeing the Yamuna, but prekshyati papinopi, even the papis, even the sinful people. Papa sindhu tarini. They're delivered from an ocean of sins that they may have committed. Niramadhuri bhirapyashesha chitta bandhini. And her waters please so many infinite living beings. So this is the glory of the Yamuna. So by the combination of the association of Yamuna Devi and all these great saints who were there and his own desire, because here it said, trita chittam ishe. He's taken his heart, chitta, his consciousness, and he's fixed it. Where? Ishe, upon the Lord. So this combination is indestructible. We should be so fortunate that at the time of our death, we have so many devotees surrounding us and chanting the holy names. So sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. There's no guarantee. Pray hard now while you can. that can happen. One of my godbrothers, even he was in an unfortunate condition. His whole life he had to suffer from extreme, just to look at him, you would become disturbed in mind. His physical condition was so inconvenient and bad karma, only bad karma. But he was an avid book distributor, and he was very staunch devotee. And at the time of his death, he was surrounded by devotees, all chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Whole life given to Srila Prabhupada, and at the time of death, just like this, he got that opportunity. So we should pray to that, and we should work on ourselves so that we can and get that great fortune. So, this is Maharaj Parikshit's position. It's virtually the same thing that we've already heard from Suta Goswami already back in the previous chapter. Maharaj Parikshit was consciously surrendered to the personality of Godhead, and therefore he was neither afraid nor overwhelmed by fear due to a snake bird which was to bite him because of the fury of the Brahmin boy. Exactly the same thing Maharaj Parikshit himself is demonstrating in this verse. Actually, Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, points out these two verses. He's offering his prayer in two verses, today's verse and tomorrow's verse, which I'll just jump ahead for a moment to give you some idea. He continues again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Sri Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. What a wonderful prayer. Are these the things that we pray for? We can. If we repeat these prayers of great devotees, Krishna is more inclined to accept our prayers. Okay. So, in yesterday or the Saturday's verse we heard, Maharaj Parikshit is not entirely confident of his own pure devotion. He says, due to my being too attached to family life, the Lord, in order to save me, has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear will I detach myself from the world. He's speaking on our behalf. Shankaracharya has summed this up very nicely when he says, what is that? Dinayamanyo punar ayata shishiravasanta pratah kala. Day and night comes, dawn and dusk comes, winter and summer come. Kala kridati, time plays with all of us. Gachati ayu, and life departs. Tarapi namunchati ashavayu. Even then, he says, a person will not give up his bundle of hopes, ashavayu. They're as dear as life. As we said before, the vasana means this bundle of hopes that we, irrational hope, unreasonable hope, impossible hope, and still we don't give it up. What is that hope? We are thinking that we can exploit this material world, exploit all of Krishna's things while evading Krishna's authority. That's what it comes down to. Whether you want to call it karma or jnana, or whether you want to call it bhukti or mukti, whether you want to call it bhoga or tyaga, it comes down to the same thing. We want to exploit Krishna's things, and we want to evade responsibility for that rascaldom. This is our ashavayu, our bundle of hopes, more dear than life. And it's never going to happen. And at the time of death, then one is pushed on by the servants of Yamaraj to some unpleasant destination. And one has to account. Everything we do, we are accountable. So the people are fearful. At least we don't know what's coming. That everyone will agree. Some people may not believe in heaven or hell, but everybody agrees that after death, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't really know. Generally, we don't know. And that's a little bit disconcerting. So death is the real cause of fear. And what happens after death is also the cause of fear. What is death? Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as the permanent cessation of all vital functions necessary to sustain life. What's life? Life it defines as the principle or the quality that distinguishes a living body from a dead body. Does it sound a little bit circular? So, at any rate, we know that something happens and we're gone, and we don't know where we go. That everyone knows this. And everyone also knows that this happens to everybody, no exceptions, I'm sorry. When you drive from Vrindavan to Delhi, or other way around, on the toll road, you see there's a sign just before you get to the toll gate. It's about 20 feet high. It's just a list of all the people who are exempt from paying the toll road tax. In India, the nature of Indian psychology is that every Indian is exempt from following rules. Every Indian is in a special category where he doesn't have to follow the rules. So I'm sorry, but this doesn't work. At the time of death, you have to go, sir. No ifs, ands, or buts, as we say in America. So, now this is ironic because, as we hear from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, we die, but at the same time we don't die. As much as we're impressing upon everyone the fact that there are no exceptions to death, at the same time there are no exceptions to the principle that no one dies. It depends. Are you coming at this from the viewpoint, standpunkt, of karma, or are you coming from it from the vantage point of jnana? If you're looking at it through jnana, then you know I don't die, never. If you're looking at it through karma, you say I always have to die. No exceptions. So, this is how it works. But Krishna says, nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha. You cannot be cut by any weapon. You can't be burned by fire, moistened by water, withered by wind. You're unbreakable, achedyoyam, adahyoyam, not burnable, akledyo shoshya evacha, means you cannot be dissolved, you can't be dried up. In these ways, he says, avyakto, you're unmanifest, achincha, you're inconceivable. This is why he finally concludes at the end. This is from chapter 2, text number 23 through 30. And finally he just says, you know, this thing is amazing. Some people hear about it as amazing. Some people consider it to be amazing, meditate upon it as amazing, and other people are just bewildered from beginning to end, can't even begin to figure it out. So this is the irony of spiritual consciousness, spiritual life. We die, and yet we don't die. So fear. We're talking about Maharaj Parikshit's fearlessness. We hear from the 11th canto, Bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshata syat. Ishada petasya viparya yosmritihi tanmaya yato buddha abhajetam bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma. Actually, only the non-devotees have to fear from death. If you are a devotee, you will not fear death. Now the problem is, we're in exactly the same way that we die and don't die, in exactly that way we're also devotees, but not devotees, at least in the beginning. We're not pure devotees. You may have noticed in Srila Prabhupada's purport, first sentence, what does he say? As soon as one is, quote, given up completely, underline the word completely, unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, end quote, then he's not afraid of death. To the extent that we are indulging in non-devotional interests, to that extent we must be afraid. Because we're accountable for that. So why should Krishna cover that bill? If you're working for any corporation, you may be, let's say if you're working in the banking sector, you may be processing transactions of millions of dollars. But as long as you're completely honest and acting only on the company's behalf, there's no accountability at all. But if you misappropriate anything, you put even $1 south for yourself, then you're accountable. You may be prosecuted. So people are afraid because we have a criminal tendency. Our vasana is black. Like every truck in India, What is that? Bhute Nazarwala, Teramuhkala. We all have black faces. We're all criminals in this world. The criminals are virtually the only ones who come here. Very rare does someone like His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, come here, as we heard yesterday, just for us, just to help us, out of His infinite compassion. Most of us are coming here impelled by the results of our own bad choices, and therefore we have no one to blame. So, Tanmayayato Buddha Abhajetam, a smart person, Krishna tells. He worships me. And how does he worship me? Bhaktya Ekaya, with single-pointed devotion. Again, it's the same thing as complete, given up completely, as Prabhupada said in his purport. But it has to be singular bhakti. Bhaktya Ekayesham, and what is the center of that bhakti? Guru, Devata, Atma. They're all the same. Your spiritual master, your worshipable deity, and yourself. They're all the same. The same in terms of how you value them. All of us, we value ourselves as the supreme. But not necessarily all of our spiritual master's instructions. And even not Krishna also. In some ways, we are all evading Krishna, as I said, or exploiting Krishna or his property. His energies. This is the problem. Therefore, we have fear. And we should be afraid. Nobody else, you cannot expect anyone else to pay for it. But this brings us to the next point, which is the association of devotees. And what is the principle of that association? Mercy. We've already discussed Yamuna Devi is one devotee mentioned here. And we can dilate on this a little bit in the commentaries on this verse. Well, Jiva Goswami points out, why is he fixing his mind? Why is it that the devotees should accept him? And why is it that Yamuna Devi or Ganga Devi should accept him? Because dhrita chittam santam mam. I have fixed my mind on Isha. That's one way to see it. Another thing is that if you have fixed your mind on Krishna, then you get the mercy of the devotees. Or the mercy of Yamuna. Either way, both. They're the same. Hari Guru Vaishnava, Bhagavad Gita. So this is the glory of satsanga, which we've already heard, again, in the last chapter. I'll just read a couple of verses that emphasize this. Text number 13. Anybody know it? First Canto, chapter 18, text number 13. It's a famous verse. Today's verse is also a famous verse. Tulayami laveenapi nasvargam napunarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kim utashishah. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which are meant for those who are going to die? And he goes on. Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot even be measured by such masters of mystic power as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? And then he goes on. Suta Goswami says, although we are born in mixed castes, we are still promoted in birthright simply by serving and following the great souls who are advanced in knowledge. Even by conversing with such great souls, one can without delay cleanse oneself of all disqualifications resulting from lower births. What kind of mixed caste is he talking about here? Why is Suta Goswami saying this? Anybody know? What was his caste? That's right. We don't have this science in modern society. Now, I used to say Western society, but now I'll have to say modern society because Indians have all given up everything. Sub kuch, bilkul. So, but it is actually a science, social science, that we have to follow our dharma, and part of following that dharma is to perform so many samskaras, and the purpose of those samskaras is to purify our vasanas, which elevates us. If we follow, we get elevated. If we don't follow, we don't get elevated. Therefore, it's not considered to be an advantage to be born of a mixed caste like Sut Goswami was. But through devotional service, anyone, in any condition, by mercy of devotees, can transcend all disqualifications and attain bhakti. How does this happen, actually? There's something mystical going on here that Prabhupada has not explicated it. It's implicit only here. Well, what is it that purifies us by the association of devotees? Anybody know 1st Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 16? I'll give you a hint. Shushrusho Shradhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi. In explaining that verse, Jiva Goswami makes some very interesting comments. He says, Mahatam prayas tatra brahmatam tishtatam va. Generally you come across the association of great souls, either when they're traveling to your place or when they're staying in your place. Darshana sparshana sambhashan adi lakshana seva swata eva sampadyate. And in that association, the opportunity to render some service, even if it's as indirect as seeing that person, or touching that person, or conversing with that person, the opportunity for seva comes about. Tat prabhavena cha tadiyacharane shraddha bhavati. And by seeing their character, by witnessing and experiencing their behavior, the power inherent in that association creates shraddha. It creates faith in us. Then he says, tadiya swabhavika paraspara bhagavat kathayam. When they're discussing topics about Bhagavan amongst themselves, not artificially, like we come to the temple, this is an injunction, we have to do it. We may or may not have a taste. But swabhavika paraspara bhagavat kathayam. They have the natural inclination amongst themselves whenever, just like Vaisheshika Prabhu. When you get into the association of Vaisheshika Prabhu, is he going to talk nonsense? No. Whatever he talks, you can see this. It's practical. It's completely from Srila Prabhupada's books. Or it's about serving, one or the other. And this is his swabhava. It has become his nature. He wasn't born like that. So, in that kind of association, he says, Kim ete sankatayanti tatshrinomi iti. One thinks, what are they talking about? Let me hear something. What is this thing all about? Krishna consciousness, they're talking all these things. Let me hear something. Iti tadicca jayate. From that process, you get the desire to hear something. Tatshravanena cha tasyam ruchir jayate. And from that hearing process only, you get a taste. You get ruchi. This is further elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Text 25. Anybody know that one? Satam prasangat. Yes, very famous verse. Bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. What does it mean? In the association of devotees. What kind of devotees? Yes, pure devotees. Again, it's the same principle. Whether we want to call it completely given up to the Lord or whether we want to call it ekaya bhaktya, whatever you want, you got to be pakka. This is the point. In that association, he says, the topics of the Lord take on a certain life or power that doesn't happen otherwise. Vishnu Chakravarti commenting on that verse, he says, Hrit karna rasayana. What does rasayana mean? Anybody familiar with Ayurveda, you may know this term. Rasayana. It means medicine. Medicine. So the topics which are medicinal, they also become very sweet. Just like sometimes when you give the, in India we have kas madhu, when you have a cough. It's very sweet cough syrup. Here we also have it. They, you know, cherry flavor or something, just to make it palatable. So it becomes like that. But moreover, he defines it in this way. Hrit karna rasayana katha anartanivritika katha. The nature of that katha from great souls is that it destroys your anarthas. If you're hearing from a mixed devotee, it may not happen. He's glossing the term satam prasangat as prakrishta sangat, the association of very special, extraordinary, highly elevated devotees, prakrishta sangat. So that has to happen. When that happens, then this medicine becomes very attractive. We get a taste for it. Bhavanti karna rasayana katha tad joshanat ashvabhavargavartmini. In the enthusiasm generated thereby, we're quickly placed on which path? Apavargavartma, the path of liberation. And what happens on that path? We go from what? From where to where do we go? Yes, we begin with Shraddha, and we go all the way to Prema. And those stages have been elaborated by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangeti. Like that. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatarthanam Asvado Rathikai Saha. This is the injunction that Rupa Goswami gives us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First sector, second chapter, text 91. Sajati ashaye snigdhau snigdhe sadhau sangasvatovare. We have to associate with those devotees who are relishing the meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is relishing the meaning? He says rasikai. Rasikai means Krishna bhajana vignya, somebody who is expert, somebody who knows how to worship, how to do bhajan of Krishna. In that association, then we have to taste. Asvada means taste. The confidential meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And how do we do that? Sajati ashaye snigdhe sadhau. Association of devotees, sangha. Association of devotees who are dear and also of the same class. Now again, this doesn't mean the same caste, jatiya. Jati also means caste. But it doesn't mean it just like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on this verse, he says, sajati ashaye means samajatiya, of the same category, which means vasana vishishte. They are characterized by the same vasana. Have we heard this word vasana in today's class? Yes. So what are we talking about? On the mundane level, if you're in your sadhaka deha, you have to choose the association, somebody that you can relate to. He may be more advanced to you. Oh, that's the next part. I'll go ahead. Swata atmanavare shreshte. Swatovare means somebody who's better than you. Better in what way? His faith is deeper than yours. So you may find somebody whose faith is deeper than yours, and the depth of one's faith is what determines one's advancement. But if you can't relate to him, you're not going to be able to take advantage of the association. This is in the sadhaka deha, in the beginning stage, when we're in the bodily consciousness. We have to find somebody we can relate to, but somebody whose faith is deeper than ours. If you're an IT engineer, you associate with another IT engineer who's ahead of you in Krishna consciousness in this way. If you're a Sankirtana devotee, you associate with another Sankirtana devotee whose faith is deeper than yours. That is the meaning. So, he said, if this happens, this is the meaning of sadhu sangha. And snigdhe, that person has to be endowed with some affection, which means gadha vishrambhatmaka sneha pare, transcendental affection, which is very, very deep and very meaningful. In other words, it's not just mundane sentiment. Has to be on the basis of someone's real advancement in Krishna consciousness. So, samajatiya vasana vishishta, the the specification is that the person's vasanas have to be the same as yours. In the sadhana platform, this means you find somebody you can relate to. In the raganuga platform, it means you find somebody who is cultivating the kind of desire or aspiration or love of Godhead that you prefer, that you want yourself. Either way, sajati ashaya snigdhaya sadho sangas vatovare. We have to associate with those who are like us, but those whose faith is deeper than ours. When we do this, then Krishna consciousness, practically speaking, it automatically results as long as we don't commit offenses. So this is why Maharaj Parikshit, even though he's expressed his own shortcomings, what he feels to be his own shortcomings in the previous verse, because I'm attached to family life, therefore Krishna is forcing me through fear to give it up. He says like that. But actually the fact of the matter is that he's still confident that he's going back to Godhead because he has this powerful association, very powerful association was there when the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Naimisharanya. So, and because he had that powerful association, Pratiyantu, Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada's translation here is following Jiva Goswami's gloss. He says it means Angi Kurvantu, Swikar Karna. Please accept me. It doesn't necessarily just mean take it that I'm surrendered. It means please accept me also. Validate the fact that I'm surrendered. This is what he's asking. And who is he asking? Tan Prarthayate, Sridhar Swami says. He's asking the sages. Why the sages? Because if they give their mercy, then Devi Devata Rupa Ganga Cha Pratyetu. Then Devi Ganga or Yamuna, as the case may be, she will also accept me in this way. And the combination of both classes of devotees, guaranteed. Prabhupada said, I'll read it again, just to conclude here. The atmosphere created by the presence of great devotees of the Lord on the bank of the Ganges and Maharaj Parikshit's complete acceptance of the Lord's lotus feet were sufficient guarantee to the king for going back to Godhead. Thus, he thus became absolutely free from all fear of death, as is confirmed, as we said, in the 11th canto. Bhayam dvitiya bhinaveshata syat ityadi. Okay, so what else shall we say about this? Two stages of satsanga. One is the initial stage. When someone hands you a book on the street, you don't know what's going on. You just get a book. Maybe if you're pious, you can give a donation, and you go home with it, and you may not read it for 10 years. I don't know when the first books entered my home. I grew up here in Culver City. But the books were on my shelf already. So one day when I got a little older, I just started reading it, and boom! Prabhupada said they're like time-released, time bombs. Time-released medicine. So, sadhu sangha, this is the initial stage of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha, shastra shravana dvara. That artha-nishtha. Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur both say the initial stage of sadhu sangha means that you generate more faith. You invest whatever you faith and you have in hearing, but that hearing process generates even more faith. That is the first stage. And then the second stage of sadhu sangha, dvitiya sadhu sango bhajanariti shiksha nibandhanaha. They say the second stage involves instruction in the process of how to worship Krishna. So both kinds of sadhu sangha have to go on. This is the power of sadhu sangha. So as I understand, this is why Srila Prabhupada emphasizes these two points in his purport. The fact that Maharaj's Parikshit is completely surrendered and thereby fearless, even of death, and the fact that this environment created by the great devotees who were present there assured him of complete success. Anyone have any questions or any comments on any of these things? Yes, Prabhuji. I can repeat the question. Yes. Okay, is the mimamsa which I mentioned the same? Well, in case you haven't noticed, we've mentioned twice, two examples I've given today. It's the same and it's not the same. It's a continuum. In the beginning, it is karma mimamsa. When you get the benefit of that karma mimamsa and you're still desirous of making further advancement, then it becomes uttara mimamsa. And I mentioned briefly that uttara mimamsa is better known as Vedanta. So Vedanta is different. It's gyan. It's not karma. It's different than purva mimamsa, but they're both mimamsa. Mimamsa itself, the word means discrimination. You have to discriminate what to do and what not to do. And on the basis of that purification from doing the right things and avoiding the wrong things, one gets the mental purification, the intellectual and ego purification, that which conceptions are right, which conceptions are wrong. So they're the same thing, but they're different branches, karma and gyan. Is it clear?
Thank you very much for me. Yeah.
I said that these six philosophies are divided into three pairs. Those are the two pairs, Mimamsa pair, Sankhya Yoga pair, Nyaya Vaisheshika pair. Okay. All right, anything else? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.